Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, and welcome back to the Lisa Lisa Show. This is Lisa Lisa speaking to you live from the studio. Well, many things to actually talk about today, because I had a very interesting weekend and. So, the weather, spring has really sprung. I'm still wearing jeans, and I have to say that for the last few days, it's been too hot for jeans, so I can pull out my capris and my skirts and be comfy. Yesterday, for the first time, I wore an open shoe. Yay! Though my pets have not been cured, I wore an open shoe. What a fab day. So happy Cinco de Mayo, all. Happy birthday to a couple of friends, May 3rd, Carolyn in Belgium, and my friend Elizabeth in Long Island, a couple of other people, but those are the two main. So happy, healthy, and happy Cinco de Mayo, everybody else. So let's get started right away, because I have to tell you a lot. Number one, after this weekend, and I went to Yoho, and I have to say that it's not Yoho and a bottle of rum. I went to Yoho, and I was scoping out their studio spaces because, as you all well know, I am looking for a new studio. So I don't think I'll be going to Yoho, though the artist community is vast and the building is enormous. It's not the safest place on the planet, and there's no reason to put myself in a place that's kind of sketchy. Now, having said that, all of that's irrelevant. The drive from my house to that studio is so ridiculously convoluted that there's no fast way to get there. It's on the east side of Yonkers, just above, below Hastings on the Hudson, exit 6, actually, I think, on the Sawmill. But it's so far out of the way. It's just, you know, I went from my brother's house, and I have to say it was a skip from Croton on the Hudson to get there. And if I lived in Croton-on-the-Hudson and they were looking for a space, I think that would probably be on my radar. Now, here's the downfall. It's a very airy building, very large windows, and very, very interesting inside. But all the spaces are open on the top. So you're only getting, you know, 10 feet of wall space up. And unless you can close it off, you're losing a lot of space up. So you can't really build shelves. You can't hang work high up. So there's a handful of not-so-conducive situations. That's the way that goes. Also, because it's an open, airy space like that, people can hear everything that everybody's doing. And I like to play music loud. I like to burn my incense. And I don't think that would be conducive to other people. They might not enjoy that. So my closed space with my little vent and my no windows doesn't make it conducive for burning incense, but it's very good for playing loud music and, you know, being by myself in a room. Albeit I would love to have a window and a bigger space by now, but anyway, I am looking, and hopefully I'll be out of here by the end of May. Okay, so on the news front, Jane Farber, curator and well-known curator, passed away last week. Very sad news. And, you know, so I just wanted to make a mention and say, you know, really sad news. Sorry to hear that. And, you know, anyway, so she will be sorely missed. Other news. There were so many things. There's so many things I want to talk about. So one of the things I want to talk about is I'm going to be in two different shows. One is in a store in Port Washington, and they fundraise every single month. She donates all the proceeds every single month. Let's try that again. To a different organization. So every single month, all the proceeds go to a different organization. So now the first one that she's donating to It's going to be for the preserve at Sam's Point. Actually, that's not the first. That's the next. And in June, when my work will be there, it's going to the Helen Keller Foundation, which makes me extremely happy because I'm a huge fan, and I have visited that foundation many, many, many times. And, yeah, I think that that's really spectacular. So that show will be hung June 23rd, and the opening reception will be June 30th. That's a Tuesday evening. I believe it's 5 to 9. So if you're in Port Washington, come down to Wit and Whim and make a purchase of art, donate some money to a good cause. All good, all good, all good, all the time. Okay. And I will remind you as it gets closer, as we draw nearer and nearer, I will get there. Okay. So I have been thinking about donating my hair to Locke. I know that a lot of you know this already because I've been talking about it for a while. So I tried this weekend to find a place where I could do that. Now, you have to Google it, and you have to go on a special site, and then they tell you where to go, and then they tell you, you know, what, and how. Now, there are certain things they will not take. They will not take colored hair. I guess that kind of puts me out right away because I color my hair. Not all the time, but from time to time, and I'm sure that there's still hair color in my hair. So I'm not exactly sure what that's about because you can always change the color of anyone's hair after it's been cut. So here are the downfalls. Number one, if you donate your hair to Locks of Love, they do not give the hair to cancer patients. So what they say is that cancer patients' hair loss is temporary, and thusly it will grow back. So they don't really give it to cancer patients. What they do is they make it available to people that have alopecia, and they do it on a fee scale depending on how much money you have. So right away you think, okay, I'm going to donate my hair for cancer, and that's not where it goes, okay? They will give hair pieces, as I said, to financially disadvantaged children under the age of 21 suffering from long-term medical hair loss, any diagnosis, which excludes cancer. Okay. As you can tell, I'm reading through this because I didn't want to do this half cocked. I want to make sure that I give you all the accurate information. So now there's several other things that happen here with Locks of Love. Number one, anything that floods the market devalues whatever the product is. So people that donate their hair, and there's tons of hair to be donated that have been donated, that are donated, that it's constant, okay, they end up having too much hair, and they end up selling the hair to wig makers and people that do hair extensions. And they sell it for like $3 a ponytail. Now, here's the other thing. The people that buy the hair that make the wigs or put in the hair extensions, they charge anywhere upwards to $200 per person to have these products, you know. So they sell it to you, they resell it. Kind of crazy, right? Okay. So that's the other thing. So now here's the best part, all right? And here's why your hair probably won't even make it to the, you know, make the cut. In order for hair to be made into high-quality wig, okay, or a prosthetic wig, it has to be a certain length. It has to be at least 10 inches. My hair is, if I donate it right now, 10 inches, is going to leave me with hair just above my collar. Actually, a little bit, like maybe halfway down my neck, like on the upper side of that, okay? Okay, so there's several things here. So now 80% of this hair is thrown away. Most of the donations end up getting moldy because they put wet hair away or it's too short of a donation. It's kind of crazy, right? So you're cutting all your hair off. People are telling, oh, your hair's so beautiful, you should donate it. If it's so beautiful, why not keep it? Okay. Anyway, so now there are people that sell their hair in third world countries to feed their families. Now, with all the people that are donating their hair, what happens is it floods the market, and now the people that need to make money to feed their family, they're getting less money for their hair. So you see there's always a trade-off, right? There is a good side to this. I will get there in a minute. So, okay, so let's do a little statistics. Finances, economy, and where the hair goes. So in 2002, Locks of Love received enough hair to donate to make 10,000 hair pieces, okay? At 10 ponytails per piece, it adds up to at least 100,000 donations. In theory, we're capable of making wigs, right? But in this year, charity provided only 174 hair pieces. So they could have made 10,000 wigs. They made 174. And the majority of the remaining 98,000 plus ponytails were not used and are not sold. So now what they do is they end up selling them, as I said, for $3 a ponytail. Okay, that's less than the estimated fair market price of $5-$10 per ounce minimum for wig quality hair. Some ponytails can fetch $500 or more in a good market. Okay, so to be fair, the charities that Wigs for Kids and Great Lengths also sell excessive hair. And so they're all selling the hair, but whatever the proceeds are, a very, very small portion of those proceeds are actually donated to the hair, to the children themselves, to do research, you know, on the diseases. So all in all, I have to tell you, not such a great way to go. Okay, so let's go now to the place that you want to donate your hair. So if you decide you want to donate your hair, where do you donate your hair? Well, there's a place called Matter of Trust. And this nonprofit is very innovative, and they have solutions to cleaning up massive oil spills, especially in the Gulf Coast, as of, what was it, that massive spill, was it like 4 or 5 years ago already, Scott? Can you imagine? 4 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, whatever it was. So this is what they do. And this was founded in 1998, Matter of Trust. All right, so they've collected donations of human hair and animal fur to clean up after all the thousands of oil spills each year. Did you hear that? Okay. So the hair and the fur donations are made into mats and booms, which use old nylon stockings to keep the clippings together. Okay, so each day, 300,000 pounds of hair and fur are cut in hair salons and across the United States, unneeded hair and fur, and it can be sent to a Matter of Trust headquarters to be reassembled into resources that help clean up Louisiana waters following that deep water Horizon oil spill. Donations are pouring in from every state and every country to aid the cleanup process. Individuals can organize hair-raising events in their communities to collect donations or speak to local hair specialists and pet groomers about sending in the leftover hair and fur. So here's the thing. What happens? Okay, so they take the hair and they make these mats and they make these booms, and all they do is they just sweep it across the surface of the water. Hair naturally collects the oil. Now here's the best part. So they can clean up the oil. It's a completely natural effort. There's no chemicals. There's no harm done. It's just a simple boom. I'm going to sweep it and pick it up. Hair collects the oil. They wash the mats and the booms or shampoo, and it cleans the hair right off. I'm sure it's industrial strength soap. And then they can reuse it. So here is a really good way to have your hair used in something that's like really seriously phenomenal. And I like that whole idea. That makes me extremely, extremely happy. So matter of trust, and that's where I'm donating my hair. And I have to tell you, I don't even have to get it cut 10 inches. So I can take 7 or 8 inches off my hair and have it donated to a resource that will reuse and reuse and reuse my hair over and over and over and over. And I think that is spectacular. Okay. So there you have it. Okay, part two of my show today. This is a really, this is kind of a fun fact. So we all know that the Israelis are the fourth, they have the, like, they're pioneers of figuring out and coming up with solutions. Like, the Israelis came up with that medication that helps patients with Parkinson's, and it can slow the effects of Parkinson's disease, and you take these pills, and you have to take them 3 or 4 times a day, and what it does is it helps to combat the effects of Parkinson's, and it slows the whole process. So until they have an actual cure, at least they've come up with a solution to help. Now, the bad side is that if you're on this medication for more than 8 years, I think that going back to, you know, the Israelis are the ones that have been very, very focused on coming up with solutions to problems. Now, one of the other things that they've come up with is genetically altered chickens. So in case you don't know, chickens have a temperature problem. Chickens get really hot. I had no idea about this. I think this is really funny. In fact, I find the whole thing to be really quite humorous. So hot chickens don't produce eggs as well as cool chickens. Who knew, right? I mean, I particularly like hot weather. I'm always cold. So I found the whole thing to be very funny. Scientists, you got it, featherless chickens. So now, what is the good about featherless chickens? Well, they have a whole host of things that they're saying. Number one, they say that featherless chickens are easier to cook, easier to clean, taste a little bit better, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's all the side stuff. And I find that to be really seriously funny. Okay, so really, what is the point of a featherless chicken other than saving you time and plucking, because all you do is dunk a dead chicken in boiling water and the feathers really kind of fall off. Their pores open up and the feathers are released and bam, there you have it. Now, ducks, on the other side, when they want to take the feathers off of a duck, they put them through, it's a very interesting thing because feathers and the down, you want the plume, which is, the down is what's underneath the feather. So they don't dunk a duck. What they do is they hold the duck up against a spinning thing of rubber. I guess it sort of looks like a car wash. And this spinning rubber removes the feathers without damaging the duck. So the duck can be sold for its, you know, for its meat. But the feathers can be used and cleaned. And it takes a year for the feathers to become usable for down in every manner of speaking. So they have mills that hold the feathers, that dry the feathers, and I thought that was so cool. Anyway, I saw that on Dirty Jobs, but yeah, that was very funny. So getting back to the chicken. So the featherless chicken, hot chickens don't produce eggs, and they're not as productive as cool chickens. So rather than air conditioning a chicken coop, they're coming up with featherless chickens. Okay, why, Lisa? Okay, I will tell you. So in countries, in third world countries that are very climate hot, you know, i.e. Africa, they can't really have chicken coops and chickens in Africa because it's too hot and the chickens don't produce well. Well, featherless chickens can be in Africa because the heat won't affect them the way it does with their feathers if they are featherless. How cool is that? Okay? So a featherless chicken is what's being bred. Now, I have to tell you, they look really, really funny because they're kind of red. And just to see a featherless chicken, it's just a funny thing, I have to tell you. It's just one funny thing. Anyway, so the chickens, you have to see it. It's like, you know, I think I'll post a picture on my Facebook page so that you can see what a featherless chicken looks like. It's really quite funny. Anyway, so this is what they're doing in the university, the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. They've come up with the featherless chicken. So I guess they're going to, I don't know if they'll be free range. Don't they get cold now? Well, they have to keep them in a comfortable climate. So what's comfortable? You know, I always worry about plants. They always say, well, if it was a very cold winter, then frost isn't going to let the plants know. You know, then the plants aren't going to be productive. The orange growth is going to be down. The grapefruit growth will be down because of the frost and blah, 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 blah. And they always talk about farming and frost. Okay. Now, if plants don't really have feelings, how do they know it's really cold? Okay, so the ground is really hard, everything's frosted, and now you can't grow the way you want. So climate control is a very interesting thing, you know, to keep things, I want to say status quo, kind of a funny thing, right? I just find that whole thing to be funny. And since we're talking about chain and such, and I just learned this as well, hanging out with my sister-in-law, the science teacher, cattle ranchers look for cows that have short legs. And I said, are you kidding me? And she said, no, because cows with long legs tend to jump over the fence. So that expression, that saying, the grass is always greener on the other side, is actually because the cow is always jumping the fence to have their lunch or their dinner or their breakfast in a greener pasture. So it's really funny. I love learning new things like that. So, yeah, so you want cows with short legs so they can't jump the fence. I said to my sister-in-law, I said, why don't they just make those fences taller? I thought that would, like, just combat the whole problem. But apparently they don't do that. They just try to find shorter legs. Cows. That whole thing just cracks me up, I have to tell you. So I did not donate my hair, and I gave myself a haircut Yesterday was Tuesday. I have to tell you, I've been off all week because I was planning on staying away the whole weekend, and I ended up coming back late Sunday night rather than Monday morning. Because I decided to run errands, and nobody wanted to go with me to Yoho and my family, so I went to Yoho alone. And I ran into people that I know, which was fine. It was all good. I have to say I had a very interesting day, but I learned a lot this weekend. And I love when that happens because, you know, it's fun to learn new things and to have, you know, new information come at you, and you go, oh, that's cool. You know, I find that all very, very fascinating. So, hairless chickens, short-legged cows, donate your hair to Matter of Trust. I have to tell you, I love that. I love that whole idea of giving your hair to something that really is useful and really does good. When you think about it, my niece, my eldest niece donated her hair this year because her sorority was doing a pledge and a drive and blah, blah, blah. Now, if the hair really goes to the kids with alopecia, I think that's fantastic. But the whole thing about people are giving you hair for free, and now you're going to make them pay, and you're doing a fee scale, I think that just, it defeats the purpose. It's like, I don't know, that makes me so crazy. It's like, at least do something really, really resourceful, really good, really productive, really proactive with all. Otherwise, what's the point? You know, just to have it mold and be thrown away? It's like the fruit or the vegetables in your fridge, you know? You're running around, you're doing stuff, you forget it's there, and you open up the refrigerator and you want to make a salad. I haven't done this in a really, really long time, but I'm completely aware of this situation. And so you open the refrigerator, you slide open the little crisper, and you see you have celery stalks, and they're starting to wilt, and you say, they're not quite dead, but I'm not going to eat them. So I'll just suck the life out of them. I won't throw them away just yet. So you're wasting food. It's like those commercials that tell you half your food ends up in the garbage. Well, I have to tell you, half my food does not end up in the garbage anymore, because now I go shopping, I share stuff with friends. So I do a tandem tag team. We go shopping together. You take half of that, I'll take half of this, and we are good to go. I love that. I love that whole idea. So there you have it. Several art shows coming up. I have lots of interesting things. Oh, by the way, we have open studios next weekend, not this weekend coming up, the following weekend. May 13th through 17th, Long Island City is having its open studio festival. But the actual date for the studio to be open will be Friday night, the 15th, from 5 to 7 p.m. So if you want to come, I will post that information on my Facebook page as well and on my LinkedIn page. Oh, it'll just be everywhere. And open studios the following day, Saturday, from 1 to, I think, 6. And then Sunday, I think also from, like, probably noon to 5. Now, I don't generally do Sundays, although I have to say that last year I did Sunday by a fluke, and I sold the painting. And that painting is actually going 90 seconds. So it's finally going to Sweden. It has been all arranged. I have to tell you, looking into shipping, you sell, it's all relative. Everything is relative, okay? So if you want to ship something abroad, and the world has gotten so much closer because it's so much easier to get around, air travel is faster, everything has, you know, it just constantly, everything evolves, right? 60 seconds. So as things evolve, of course, things become more, they just become easier, right? So you think, piece of artwork to Europe, it's close to $1,000. It's ridiculous, you know? It's upwards to $1,000. It starts off at like $830 and up. And that's not including insurance, okay? So if you buy something for $5,000 or under, you're not going to spend $1,000 to ship. If you spend $10,000 or $12,000 or $15,000, so let's say $10,000 to $15,000, you might be inclined to spend $1,000. You spend $50,000, 10 seconds. So you spend $50,000 or upwards on a painting. Now $1,000 to ship it is nothing. And of course, you know it's going to be at least $1,000, because if you've spent $2,000 on something, you know you're going to really insure it. So, you know, it's all relative. So I think it should always go that. There should be a fee scale on all these things. And I say, oh, well, if you become a customer, a client, and you become, you know, you sign up and now I can't think of the word, of course. I love when that happens. It's not a member, an account, but you now have an account, all right? So you're a client with an account. So they'll only discount at 25%, which is still more than $500. Now you're talking $650, you know? I still think that's ridiculous. Anyway, situation has been averted to like $60, making it very, very comparable and easy. So there you have it. Anyway, so this is Lisa of the Lisa Show saying thank you so much for listening, and have a spectacular spring. I do hope that you come to the open studios. I look forward to all your comments, and think about where you're going to donate your hair. It doesn't take a lot. All right. Have a fabulous day. Have a beautiful week, and thank you so much for listening. This is Lisa signing off.